report of the external auditor. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairman. Starting with paper E, which is the auditor's report for the IFAC Council. Before I get started, what I would most like to say is a big thank you to all of the staff here on the IFAC for their support and help us complete both the audit of the council and the pension fund. I don't say that because I might forget that. This year's not necessarily been the most straightforward for a number of reasons, and you know, the support that we have had to get us to the place that we're in is much appreciated. Just a brief reminder of the purpose of the report. It summarises the work that we have done to be able to issue the audit opinion on the financial statements and to issue the value for money conclusion. I'm going to assume that the report's been read, so I'll just focus really on the executive summary and then the areas of audit focus to update you on the elements of work that were outstanding when we produced the report for patients. So if I can turn quickly to page E5. There was a slight change in our scope, which is standard, so when we set our planning materiality here in our planning report based on last year's financial statements, so we updated for this year's, and what that shows is a very slight increase in our materiality level. That doesn't really make any changes to the work we've done, and those thresholds are important when it comes to which areas we are required to report. I'm going to ask David to just take you through briefly to update on each of those items that were outstanding in the second section on E5.
Thank you. So just going through the bullet points in the states of the audit box on page E5. The creditors testing that work is now substantially complete. There was one query outstanding which will be closed off today. Firefighters pensions, our work on lump sums and benefits payable is now completed. There is the linked disclosure of the pension liability in the main part of the accounts, and I'll come on to that shortly. Property, plant and equipment, that work is now also substantially complete. There is a small amount remaining to be documented on valuation of property, plant and equipment. Our work on housing benefits expenditure is now completed. For pensions, that's now well progressed. I'll cover that again in a moment and when we look at the areas of focus. Exit packages is now fully completed, as is the work on the annual government statement and narrative statement. Our general audit procedures are substantially complete, so all that remains to be done. The final review of work is also substantially complete, subject to those remaining areas just touched on above. There is also one area to be completed on payroll expenditure, which is the last five bullet points, which talk about our conclusion procedures, will be finalised ahead of the deadline. That is standard. They are prepared as far as they can be at this point. Over the page on E6, the states of the audit section continues, and it talks about a national issue impacting the pension disclosures in the accounts for the council, for all councils, fire authorities, and it's also the police authorities about that. Obviously, that is not going to be by council. As a result of an ongoing court case, there was a necessity to obtain an updated report from the actual Environmental Pension Fund to then update some of the disclosures in the council's accounts around the pension liability for the council and the fire. Since this report was issued, that has been retained from the actuary. The accounts have been updated, and we are now working through finalising our work on our side on that. There were some complexities around the particular firefighters pension fund to be considered, but we have now had that through from our pension specialists on our side. The second box on E6 talks about audit differences. At the point in time when the report was submitted, there were no unjusted audit differences. As a result of some of the work that's been done on pensions outside of the McLeod ruling aspect, there are now two untested differences which arise as a result of judgmental aspects of the estimation of the pension liability. The actuary of the pension fund did not make any allowance for GMP, guaranteed minimum pension, on the basis of materiality. We have done an assessment of the possible impact had they included that within their assumptions. That gives rise to a judgmental audit difference. and then the auditor of Unemployed Pension Fund are providing us with their assurances on the information given to the actuary for the IAS 19 process, identify a small difference between the estimated asset value that forms one part of the overall balance and the actual figure of the year. So those differences arise because we are required, where possible, to compare estimates to actual outturn position and to assess the inputs into estimates or reasonableness. I think it's probably fair to say that we wouldn't really necessarily expect the council to adjust its financial statements for those items, in particular GMP one, because it is judgmental, but nevertheless, it's a requirement to carry out those procedures, and it's a requirement that we then report any differences over a certain threshold, hence why those two are now included. There is nothing further to say in terms of adjusting all the differences. There are very few, and if it's of any disclosure of each of the changing actual numbers of the accounts as such.
Thank you, Ben. Just to sort of wrap up quickly the remainder of the executive summary before we look at the significant areas of the focus, those of risks that we identified panels, it's important, I think, the committee understands the outcome of the work done in each of those areas. There are no issues to report under control observations. In relation to our work on value for money, we've carried out procedures that are set out in section 5 of our report. I wasn't proposing to go through those in detail, but obviously happy to take questions from members at the end. There are no other reporting issues to bring to the committee's attention. The AGS work and the double set work that is noted is ongoing on page E7, as David said, that's now completed with no issues, and we have nothing to say around the independence. So if we turn to page numbers now, E9, I think it will be, which is where the significant risks are. David will just very briefly update on each one in terms of any work that we have doing at the time.
First risk on E9, significant risk around the potential risk of fraud in revenue and expenditure recognition. In terms of the status of the work, which is in what are our conclusions, plots on the bottom right, our testing of additions to property, plant and equipment and personal property is now completed, as is the related testing of journal entries, and there are no issues arising from that work, no indications of the proper revenue or expenditure recognition. The second significant risk is on E10, which is the risk of conceded due to fraud or error, which we are required to identify under auditing standards on all audits, and our work there is now substantially complete. No reporting issues, no indications of matching verified controls from that work. Then we move into what we call the areas of audit focus. So these are not judged to be significant risks, but these are areas of higher inherent risk due to their nature. Valuation of land and buildings and investment property. This is substantially complete. There is a small amount of work still to be completed. There is nothing to report from the work which has been undertaken to date. It's fully completed on investment property. The outstanding element is on property property. PFI accounting. That was reported as a final position in the report as you've got in front of you, so there's nothing to add to that. There are no issues arising from our work there. The next one on E13 is the pension liability valuation, which I've spoken about already. There's nothing really more to say on that beyond what I've talked about previously. E14, business rates or NBR appeals provision. Again, that's as reported. That was finalised and work on this report to you. And that's also the case for the final area of focus, which is on E15 around the adoption of new accounting standards. That was a final position as reported and as shown.
Thank you, David. So the final point is there before we take any questions or comments from members of the committee is that subject to the satisfactory conclusion of the small number of outstanding procedures, we expect that we'll be issuing an unqualified opinion on the financial statements, an unqualified value for money conclusion, and we will be able to certify the audit as closed, because although we are yet to complete our work on all the government accounts, you still fall below the threshold for full audit procedures, so we confirm that we're below the threshold, and basically that's dropped down to that piece. of work, so we anticipate issuing an audit beginning on the 21st of August. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from any of the members?
I'd love to hear those words on qualified approval. Thank you.
It keeps you happy. Question?
I was going to say much the same. It's just very encouraging that throughout the report, we identify there aren't any material problems being identified. Thank you to our staff for helping to get to where we are.
We'll all support that. If there are no more questions, I think we can go to the vote on this. Proposer and seconder?
Close.
Thank you. Right. And the vote for?
Unanimous.
Okay. Hang on, let's do that one.
So should I move on to the pension plan report?
Yes.